Well, that was an eventful show.
Very eventful. By the way, it's Brian Blade, and you didn't get rid of me. I'm here. Hey, yo. Hashtag deal with it.
Are you going to let him intro his own show?
No.
This is a special post-WrestleMania edition of the Sala Monster Sounds Off. Episode 322.
Woohoo!
Live on location in New Orleans. On... Okay. Thank you for the added sound.
That was us with our drinks. We're trying to illustrate this is an alcoholic show.
Live on Bourbon Street, I am joined by Noah Mark.
Hello.
Brian Blade, who finally was able to make it.
Hey, yo.
And joining us, kind of, sort of.
Is this his debut on the Sound Off?
Released from the kennel.
He released from the kennel that we kept him in the other day. Webmaster Mike from SCSports.com.
Good evening. Good evening.
Makes his debut, and we're not even associated with SD Scoops anymore. So.
You're fired.
It only took so many years.
Pipe bomb.
Hand grenade.
We just came from the Silverdome, site of WrestleMania 30.
Silverdome.
Brother.
We saw Hogan slam Andre tonight.
Excuse me, Hogan.
Cesaro slam Big Show. Okay. I'm out of order.
You know what?
Sorry.
That kind of was our moment, in a way. Actually, we had an interesting experience leaving the Silverdome tonight. I was going to say we bumped into Hurricane Helms, but that wouldn't be an accurate way of
portraying it. I think he bumped into you.
Hurricane Helms tracked me down in the street.
Wait, that was really Hurricane Helms?
That was Shane Helms?
That was really him. I'm the idiot that didn't realize that.
Brian, the whole time, I think that looks like Hurricane Helms.
In front of him, mind you.
Right.
In front of him. I'm a dummy.
Well, that was like me the other night in my defense. We saw Al Snow on Bourbon Street. I said, you know, God, I think that looks like Al Snow. And Mike was like, that is Al Snow.
But did he hear you say that like a dum-dum?
No, he was on the balcony throwing beads and we went up and we met him. He was a very nice guy.
And no matter.
1,000 people and it's mine. See, Mike almost...
I'm warming it up for you.
You know, I should mention here that we are doing this. This is what we call the drunk show here.
For a good reason.
We're doing this post-show literally right after WrestleMania.
Edit-free.
But we stopped off first. We have our priorities straight. We stopped off to get some hand grenades.
Which Noah Mark got kicked. He got kicked out of the damn bar. We got it on video.
For the record, Noah Mark is no longer allowed in the Tropical Isle bar on Bourbon Street.
Yes.
One of them.
He was kicked out. We won't get into that whole story. No. Had a chance to meet Shane Helms. Very nice guy. He loved the If Cena Wins, We Complain Online shirt that I'm wearing as we speak. Mm. Also had a chance to meet Bad Influence, the most criminally underutilized tag team in TNA right now.
Wow. TNA mentioned on a post-WrestleMania 30 podcast.
TNA. Absolutely.
That's cool.
And you know, I asked Shane Helms when I was talking to him before. I said, what'd you think of WrestleMania? He enjoyed the show. And I asked him about a certain something that happened on the show. A certain streak.
A what?
A certain streak.
What?
Came to an end on
the
show.
Streak.
It was
a good run.
Yes, we're not talking about Naked Midian.
Remember when The Undertaker used to be undefeated at WrestleMania?
Used to be. That was a long time ago.
I'm pissed off about it.
Back in the day. His viewpoint was, hey, the streak has to come to an end at some point. And it did. The Undertaker is now 21-1.
Bullshit.
He might have been the only person that believed that it should have ended at some point.
He was one of the few.
You were smiling, Mike.
I loved it, but... Very small minority. Most people felt the streak should be intact.
Because they're correct, like me.
I don't think... Let me just say this. You know, we were live in the crowd, and when the match ended...
Hold on one second. First of all, I'm working hard being your engineer here, Sala Monster, and I would just like to say I apologize for sounds and technical issues, slurping sounds.
We're drinking!
Hold on.
I just want to apologize in advance.
If you hear any clanking, if you hear any banging...
It's Mike getting lucky, baby.
No, we're on Bourbon Street, and
anything goes.
A lot of people very upset that this streak came to an end tonight. So I think there's going to be I think there's going to be a lot of drinking going on Bourbon Street tonight.
Woo-hoo!
21-1. The Undertaker is no longer undefeated at WrestleMania. A lot of people upset that a quote part time person. Took the streak tonight.
I just don't think it makes sense. I think if you want to have someone beat the streak, give the rub to somebody who is doing well, but they get a little bit of
Hold on. Let's look at the pros and cons of this. The pro is that nobody saw this coming. I didn't know anybody who expected The Undertaker to lose. And so when he did...
JBL.
I looked around the Silverdome. Sorry, Hulk. And...
Brother.
There was such an expression of shock and awe on people's faces. It was comical.
It was utter confusion.
Nobody. First of all, we all thought that maybe a shoulder was up. No music played. Nobody knew.
No replay played in the arena.
Nobody knew what was. And by the way, almost instantaneously, they put a graphic up that said 21-1. It's almost as though they knew.
They pushed the button.
Yeah, it's almost as though they knew going into it. So if they were looking to shock people, they got that. I was not a fan of the buildup of this. I know Mike was, and I think everybody at this table wasn't a fan of the buildup to this match.
It was terrible.
It wasn't what it should have been. Undertaker, you know, got the upper hand every week, except the go home show. He took an F5, which had to happen. But the buildup to this match was very disappointing. And you know, for Brock Lesnar to be the one to end the streak, the way they built it up, they could have done a much better job. But I'm not going to hate on this outcome as much as other people do. I'm not... Look, I wouldn't have done it. I'm not a fan of the finish. I would have done it differently, but in a way, it's kind
of
cool.
Wait, okay. You're not a fan of the finish. I was right next to you. You were smiling and happy about it.
I was clapping. I was
living in the moment.
I was clapping out of respect. I was clapping out of respect for The Undertaker. There was a huge Undertaker chant. People showed him respect. But people didn't know what to make of it. People really did not comprehend what they just saw.
It took the Divas match for us to just figure out what the heck we just saw.
I felt bad for the Divas because there was no way that they could follow what we had just seen.
The oxygen was sucked out of the
Nobody
stadium.
Cared. Nobody cared about that match when it happened.
Did they any? Would they have anyway, though, really, though? Let's be honest. I'm not saying it was deserved. Look, I was guilty. I took it out on them. Right. But let's be honest.
What did you do to the Divas?
14 Divas in a match, including Eva Marie, I can't imagine it would be a super spectacular.
Right. Eva Marie in the ring after the Undertaker streak was broken, she didn't stand a chance. She didn't. She didn't stand a chance.
She never would.
Well, that's true. That is true. But so, you know, in a way, I felt bad for the women. They didn't stand a chance when that match was over. I've gotten a ton of tweets from people. Oh, is that it? That's Undertaker's last match.
Bullshit.
Sting's not coming in. There's no point to it. I disagree. I don't believe for a second that was Undertaker's last match. Now we haven't had the chance to watch the network version back. So I don't know what was said on commentary. I didn't see up-close facials of The Undertaker. In the arena, they didn't show The Undertaker's facials.
No, they didn't.
They had the 21-1 graphic up. We couldn't see what the hell was going on.
And that was the only match that they weren't showing footage on the big screen.
That was it. That was the only one. That was the only one. We did not see the reactions from him after the match was over. So I had people saying, oh, if you saw his face, you would know that's it. It's over. It's his last match. I don't buy for a second that it's his last match. And I don't think the whole Sting thing is dead, okay? We'll find out, you know, tomorrow night, Raw.
We'll be there.
We'll be there. We'll be at the, what is it? The
Smoothie King Center.
The second worst name of an arena that I could think of behind the Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, I have to say that I like the Smoothie King Center because they have some great smoothies now.
Isn't there a Yum Center also? That's a pretty
Yum Brands, yeah.
Is it Yum?
That's a pretty crappy name.
Is it Yum or
well.
Yummy?
Yeah. No, it's Y-U-M.
It's Yum Brands.
And people that own KFC and Pepsi.
KFC, yep.
Well, that's
up there.
Kind of crappy, actually.
We should have a King of the Ring for a crappy arena names.
But, you know, whoa.
I had a sneeze, dude.
Thank you, Brian Blade, for that.
You sneezed and your phone just dropped all over the place. Brian,
look,
Brian,
I've had too much to drink.
Can't take you anywhere.
Edit button.
Brian went to sneeze so he would be quiet. And then his phone.
Right.
We're keeping all this.
We're not editing.
Well, this is a Raw show here.
Literally Raw.
This is literally a Raw show.
Solomonster's giving me notes.
Back to WrestleMania 30, Solomonster.
But anyway, back to The Undertaker. I don't buy for a second that was his last match. I mean, we'll watch it back tomorrow. Maybe I'll feel differently.
Well,
but
if anything, you know, we talked about this on the way out of the Silverdome, Hulk Hogan.
Right.
You know, now if you have The Undertaker versus Sting. Now if you have the obligatory, you would think, Undertaker versus John Cena match, there's no streak that needs to be broken.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I mean, the drama of the streak is gone. But that doesn't mean you can't have The Undertaker in a match at WrestleMania that has some drama to it. Because now that it's almost like this huge weight is kind of lifted off of his shoulders.
The pressure of the streak.
Right. The streak is not there anymore. And so therefore, these matches maybe aren't as predictable.
It starts in a tie now. Every match starts in a tie.
It might not have been as predictable as it was before because everybody complained to it. It's so predictable. I can't get into it.
Tonight was predictable.
Tonight was so predictable that nobody called that finish. Not even your friend Dolphin.
I didn't look. Dolphin said Undertaker goes over.
Dolphin supposedly got screwed over by
his
contact.
By someone who
tonight.
Wasn't supposed to doing that anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
My heart bleeds for
I
him.
Think Dolphin got future endeavor tonight.
So just to summarize here, I expect Undertaker to be on Raw. Who's to say they don't do a segment where the Undertaker comes out, talks about maybe he doesn't have it anymore, it's time to hang it up, call it quits, and out comes Sting and says, not so fast. And was it you pointed out that it doesn't have to be at WrestleMania.
Should it be.
It could be a WrestleMania match next year. Sting was at WrestleCon today, you know, teasing, oh, my favorite number is like 31 or, you know, something like that, teasing maybe WrestleMania next year. They could do it at WrestleMania. They could do it at SummerSlam. Who's to say? You know, it's a match that still has marquee value. I still think he's coming in. If he's not signed, I think he's coming in. Maybe I'm naive. But calm down, people. You could still do the match. You could do Undertaker and Cena. Streak or no streak, there's still marquee value in those matches. I don't think he's done.
Well, I don't think anyone's denying that you can't still do an Undertaker versus
but
Sting match,
do you
though.
Think he's done?
No, I don't think he's done. I'm just bummed as a fan.
Is
as
there
a
anybody
fan,
sitting at this table right now who thinks that we just witnessed the Undertaker's final match?
No. And if you do, you're dumb.
No.
Okay. Well, I won't go that far.
No, I
listen.
But let me ask you. What did you think of the match? The match. Let's talk about the match.
I was bored.
The match sucked. The match sucked until...
Although, I would be interested in Solomonster to find out and watch on the WWE Network how it came across on TV.
The match... Hold on a second.
What are you pointing at?
We have a cat. We have a guest.
We have a visitor.
Is the cat here?
So am I. It's in my room, by the way.
Yeah.
We have a visitor here. Actually, I'm going to throw it to you guys, and I'm going to remove our visitor. I'm going to get rid of this cat.
You're going to take the cat.
I want you guys to comment on what you thought of the match itself. Because I didn't think the match was worth a damn until the end. It made sense. He took 3 F5s, got pinned. The finish happened. It was what it was. What did you think of the actual match?
Well, the match was really... Look, it was long. There were long spots. He was blown up. The Undertaker was seemingly blown up. I felt that it looked like the Undertaker should not win this match, but of course there's that suspension of disbelief. I can't believe Solomon's right now is a cat has come into our
Wait, let's
apartment.
Get back to the match. I really have things to say about this match. Everyone's really crapping on this match. It wasn't the high-paced, fast match that we're used to. Just hear me out. From an Undertaker WrestleMania match. But if you go back and watch that match, it was a good, solid, they told a story, slow-paced wrestling match. Granted, there weren't high spots, but you know what? You don't have to have that in every single match or every single Undertaker match. Think about it. It really is not necessary.
I'm going to hold off my final critique until I actually see this thing on television. We saw
it. Fair enough.
We saw it live in the arena, and anyone that's been to a live show knows that that's a completely different experience than seeing a show on television.
It's true.
From my perspective, the Undertaker match, it looked slow, it was plodding, it didn't have the drama. I'm not looking for Lucha Libre style bouncing off the ropes.
Well, good, because you won't get it.
I can understand an Undertaker match. I know where he is at in his career. I was not entertained. This was a slow and plodding match to me. The Undertaker, he looks like he's at the end of his rope to me.
But it certainly wasn't his last match. Again, I'm not saying you're wrong for your opinion, but really, just remember, it wasn't a typical Undertaker match. I think they really told the story, and look... I thought the WrestleMania 27 match with The Undertaker and Triple H was crap. Yes. I sat next to you and Noah Mark at that event, but when we watched it on TV, it was a little bit better. So I think with this match, you most likely will find the same thing.
I personally hope that I've not seen my last Undertaker match.
You haven't.
I'm not. I don't think that
Noah,
I have.
Tell Mike he's being silly in even thinking that's possible.
I don't even know.
I didn't say that at all. I hope I've not seen my last Undertaker match. I do not think I've seen my last Undertaker match. The Undertaker still has some gas left in the tank, but
not much after tonight.
From what we saw from our vantage point in the stands, this was not an exciting, drama-filled match.
I know. I just said that, Gorilla.
All right, I'm back now. This cat is under Noah's bed.
The cat's still
Wait,
here,
the
really?
Cat's still in
the cat is in. I closed the door so she doesn't come in here. I have Jared trying to lead the cat out of the house. So we have a little drama going on here.
Yeah, I'm allergic to cats.
This is Catgate.
Back
to the wrestling.
So anyway, let me give my opinion on this because that's why people are listening to this show.
Europe? Oh yeah.
That's right. I thought the match was horrible. I thought the other streak that came to an end tonight was the streak of great Undertaker WrestleMania matches, because people will remember this finish forever. But this match was no good. It was slow. It was maybe it was that way by design. I don't know, but I was not impressed by this match. I was in the crowd live. The crowd didn't care. The crowd was getting restless. I had people texting me saying this match is boring. It's no good. So I thought this match was no good.
I cracked up my section by...
Now, if that was the idea, if the story was The Undertaker's old and he doesn't have it anymore, hey, they told a great story.
That should have been in the build-up, though.
But that...
It was, though.
I'm sure the idea was not for Undertaker and Brock to come to WrestleMania and have an underwhelming match. So I thought the match was no good. The ending, I wouldn't have done that. I'm not going to hate on it the way other people have hated on it. I assume it was Undertaker's idea. It was his wish. Because I can't imagine the WWE would have, you know, wanted the streak to end, as marketable as it is. And that's where we are now. I don't think it was his last match. I don't think we've seen the end of the possibility of The Undertaker and Sting. I think there still is very much a possibility of that. But I was not impressed by this match.
Do you think that way back when, of course, we saw the footage on the UFC pay-per-view,
mm-hmm.
where The Undertaker is at ringside, first row, or cage side, whatever you want to call it.
I know where you're going with this.
And he comes out and says, hey, are we going to do this? And do you think that at the time, The Undertaker was trying to woo Brock Lesnar and said, I'll put you over. I want you at WrestleMania.
No, because I think Brock's more about the money, and even though he likes what he's doing now, I think that's completely...
But that's a really interesting point. Was Brock Lesnar breaking the streak part of luring Brock Lesnar back to WWE?
I doubt it.
I say no.
No way.
I say no.
Well,
no
here's the thing. It wasn't a matter of luring him back to WWE, because at the time he was under contract to UFC. They wanted Dana White to give them permission to use him.
Mm-hmm. And if he was still in the UFC at the time...
No, for one match.
And if he was still in the UFC at the time, of course, Brock, it would be more... He would be more susceptible to doing the match if he went over the...
Dana White wanted none of that. Dana White
was
not
going to... Look, but that's why it didn't happen. I don't buy for a second that had this match happened 3 or 4 years ago, WrestleMania 27, which was what they wanted, mm-hmm. that the streak would have ended.
Okay.
Time has gone on. Brock is under contract to them. He's in the fold, even though he's a part-time performer. Undertaker's a lot older. Maybe he feels he is coming to the end of his rope. Times change, plans change, and so here we are. Here we are.
You can't unring a bell.
The
dusty finish.
Other big story of WrestleMania is that Daniel Bryan is, in fact... WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Yes.
The guy with the beard?
Yes.
That's that dude with the beard.
The guy with the beard.
You know, I interviewed him 2 years ago.
And the furry boots. Did you notice that?
I did.
Goat fur boots.
Hashtag furry boots.
We all interviewed him 2 years ago. And you know, it's interesting.
I did a great job with that, yeah.
And it's interesting to me that...
Cat update. I'll be right back. You guys talk.
He's still coming out here?
I don't know. It might be a she. I don't know what's going on.
You know, the fact that you, who... is allergic to cats is the one disposing of his cat.
Hashtag furry boots.
But let me continue this Daniel Bryan thing. I didn't know about Ring of Honor or Daniel Bryan until he came to WWE with the NXT. And when he came back at SummerSlam after seemingly being fired for that whole Justin Roberts incident, I was like, wow, this guy is got short hair, he's little, but he is an amazing wrestler. He's my new favorite wrestler. I had no clue he would be taken to the heights of not just a WrestleMania main event, but winning the world championship in the main event of a WrestleMania. I never would have fathomed it, and it's so nice to see that a really talented guy on the mic, who to me, comes across as very natural, finally did it. We share the same name, that's why he's awesome, and I'm so happy he's WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Your name is Daniel?
That's all.
My name is Brian, and his last name's Brian. Mike.
That's all wonderful and good, but the fact of the matter is, you know, that is a great sweetheart ending to a less than sweetheart Cinderella story.
What do you mean?
We all know for the fact that this has been a ridiculous ride for Daniel Bryan.
I disagree. I'm sorry. I disagree. Everyone's saying he's being treated horribly. Okay, he's marrying a Bella. Granted, that's part of his personal life. Hear me out. He's marrying a Bella. He's been focused mainly in the last couple months, so he didn't win the belt. He got screwed by the Authority, but he had major TV time. I don't want to hear anybody talking about Daniel Bryan getting screwed by WWE.
Jared gave the cat jerky. I don't know if cats can have
cats jerky. Cats love chorizo jerky.
Well, we got her out of the house, so that drama is done.
Well, speaking of jerky,
she won't be coming back.
Solomonster. Speaking of jerky, Noah Mark was saying that Daniel Bryan didn't have this storybook career going on in the past many months because he's been screwed over, and I disagree. He's had TV time. He's been the main focus. I think it's been fantastic for him.
No, this has not been fantastic at all. At all.
What are you talking... Okay, I'm sorry.
It's not been properly done, but this is still a good story for Daniel Bryan.
We got our happy ending tonight. I thought the way they did that was actually masterful in the main event.
The stretcher job
coming off the stretcher. People were dead for the first half of that main event. And when Bryan got his comeback, when they did the stretcher job and he came off the stretcher like Mick Foley did in the Hell in a Cell match in Pittsburgh, people came alive for it. I thought the way they did, there were two moments in the main event towards the end that my heart skipped the beat. I don't remember which. There were two spots. One might have been an
Batista bomb.
It was a Batista bomb spot, but it was also an RKO spot where Orton laid out Batista, went for a pin. This was Bryan was out of the picture at this point, and it came very, very close to being
within an inch,
a three count, and my heart jumped up into my throat.
Wait a minute, why? You told me on this trip, you said there's no way Daniel Bryan is walking out that champion.
But, you know what? In the moment, though, there were several parts of that match.
But you know what? I also said Undertaker was going to beat Shawn Michaels. There was never a doubt in my mind that Undertaker was beating Shawn Michaels in those two matches. That first match they had at 25 is my all-time favorite Mania match. But even in that match, they got me. They did such a good job. There was that one tombstone spot where they got me. And they got me in this match. I thought they did a tremendous job in this main event.
Fair enough.
It kind of saved the show in a way. I mean, people were still talking about the streak ending as we left the building. People were still in shock. But
it was still trending.
It was the perfect ending to the show. We had the big pyro display. We had the confetti bath. Confetti all over the place. Bryan celebrating. I think, was that his sister? I think his sister maybe and her kids?
His niece.
His niece maybe came into the ring.
Cute kid.
Very reminiscent in some way. Well.
What? Wait, what? I don't know what you're talking about.
Chris Benoit.
Very reminiscent of a moment that we saw with family in the ring at WrestleMania 20. 10 years ago.
You can say his name. It's not WWE programming.
Hopefully the outcome of this is very different.
Hopefully? How about we just assume it is?
You mean okay? Hopefully Daniel Bryan won't kill his sister and his niece?
All right.
But I thought that...
This is the drunk show. If everybody wanted the drunk show, you got the drunk
show. I thought the end of the show was excellent.
That's right.
I enjoyed the ending a great deal.
Agreed.
I think overall, I probably should have said this at the beginning, but I thought overall this was a very... This is a very good WrestleMania. It was not a great WrestleMania,
so
but
would you say a B+ WrestleMania?
It was a B+ WrestleMania.
I agree,
absolutely, and probably
Bryan plus.
Probably the best WrestleMania live that we have seen in the last three. I've now attended three WrestleManias: 28, 29, and 30, and they all had their moments. The first one is special, of course, but this one from the opening segment, which was awesome. I think everyone at this table will agree.
Hear, hear.
What a moment.
Phenomenal opening segment, even despite the botches, brother.
The botches made the segment, though,
Hogan,
eventually, though.
Austin, Rock, all in the ring at once. I mean, we knew that these guys were going to be on the show, but there were a lot of people who were stunned. They all got big cheers. It was a great
stunners, though.
It was an appropriate way to open the big 30th WrestleMania show by having three of the biggest stars in the history of that company in the ring at the same time. So, from that moment to... the tag match, which was on the pre-show, wouldn't have had it there myself, but it was a great match. And then, of course, the stuff with Bryan. Bryan and Triple H had a very good match.
It was very enjoyable. I'm very glad they did that in the opening match. It added some drama to the event. And Triple H actually surprised me. I didn't think his ego would let him be a curtain jerker.
Triple H did the right thing in that match.
He did.
He made Bryan look good. Bryan got the clean win.
Who expected a
with
clean
no
finish?
With no Stephanie interference, by the way.
I said it had to be clean.
We were speculating fatal four-way in the main event.
I thought there was a very good chance Triple H would... And actually, he did. I was right. I said Triple H would have some involvement either as a referee. He would be in the match. I wasn't right on that, but he did come out. He did play into the match. He got hit with a sledgehammer that he brought into play. Stephanie took a bump. I said on the show that we did this weekend, at some point, Stephanie has to take a bump. She has to get her comeuppance.
She looked great tonight.
Time to play the game.
She always looks
she
good.
She looks great tonight.
Except for her rat face smile. She always looks good.
Please, you wouldn't kick her out of your bed.
Go take a look at the photos of Stephanie when she smiles.
You wouldn't kick her out of your bed. Next.
I wouldn't.
Next.
Just put a bag over
it. Just have her smile.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So the main event, it was very dull the first half.
Yeah.
And there were still people who were very upset over what happened in the Undertaker match. But to their credit, they won the crowd back. I was a little worried it would take some of the luster off Bryan's win, which I never doubted was going to end the show. And
I think it did.
Ironically, once Triple H...
I think it did.
You did.
You think what?
I think that the Undertaker streak being broken took some of the oxygen out of the
arena. The early part of the match.
Where
but
were
they
you?
Got them off back. They got them back in the end, and that is to the credit of all three guys in the match.
Four
I'm
guys.
I'm not saying that Daniel
Four
Bryan
guys,
didn't
including,
get his
including Triple H. Including Triple
once
H.
Once Triple H came in, everybody got into the match.
Yes. The ending of the ending of the main event was red hot, but there's no denying that one of the biggest story coming out of this WrestleMania is the streak being broken, and there's no denying that the streak being broken partially takes away from that and almost overshadows that.
I disagree. Maybe for the first part of the match, but at the end, I think everyone, it was in the back of everyone's mind, but people were focused on Daniel Bryan.
Right. And it was the perfect moment. It was they did exactly what they had to do. Now, where they go from here, does Orton get his rematch? Does John Cena get a shot at the title? Because John Cena, as predicted on episode 321, he beat Bray Wyatt.
Gloating?
I disagree.
I'm not gloating, because I was actually disappointed in that. I thought this would have been a bigger night for Bray Wyatt had he won. He didn't lose much. He didn't lose much. He'll be fine. But I would have had him go over in this match.
He had more to gain than Cena had to lose.
He had way more to gain. There were a lot of very upset people in the crowd when he lost.
Not me.
And I know Brian Blade is a big John Cena fan. And like I said, John Cena winning does not mean the end of Bray Wyatt. John Cena did not bury... Can we just put this to bed once and for all? John Cena did not bury anybody tonight.
In fact, he put him over pretty well.
He did what he was told to do. I thought he sold... You know, there were moments in the match when Bray would kick out or Bray would do something that completely freaked him out, played mind games to get in his head.
That was cool.
That was cool. I thought that was a good match. It wasn't a great match. It was a good match.
Bray Wyatt was not out of place hanging with John Cena.
No. Everyone bought into it. The Wyatt's got a great response coming out. And by the way, the Wyatt entrance, one of the highlights of the night.
Yeah.
Wait, let me say something.
Great stuff.
I stand corrected. I haven't been big on a Wyatt as a marquee guy, but I will say, after seeing tonight's match, they changed my mind. I actually have really more respect for Bray Wyatt, and I do see him as a main event player now.
Yes.
They convinced me. I admit it.
Hey, Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns. I've said it before. I'll stick by it. The next 5-10 years, the two top guys in the company. They have that potential if they can stay out of trouble, injury-free, and all that kind of stuff.
I'm hoping next 3 years.
Maybe the next 3 years. It's possible. Roman Reigns could be like a strap the rocket to him next year. You know, he's not too far off from that.
Speaking of Roman Reigns, we saw him for about, what, a minute tonight?
I think that was the worst part of this WrestleMania was the Shield match. If you blinked,
you missed it.
The Shield match got shortchanged. That really pissed me off. Because there was a lot of debate going into the show. What match is the Shield going to have? Are they going to do a triple threat? You know, the stuff with Kane, I thought maybe they were going to build to Kane trying to screw with them by putting them in a match against each other for Ambrose's U.S. title, which never gets fucking defended. They didn't do that. They put them in a match against Kane and the Outlaws, which if you blinked, you missed it. Now, on the one hand, it was a dominant win. The Shield came out. Badass. They were wearing those Aces and Eights masks, right? They looked,
pretty cool.
They looked a hell of a lot more intimidating than Aces and Eights did in 18 fucking months in TNA. They come, and by the way, they came out right next to us in our section.
That was pretty
cool.
That
was actually
cool. I got a nice
cool.
video of them coming in.
Yes, you did. And the match went, I didn't time it. I should have done a Diva stopwatch for this match. I would say the match was over in, what, 90 seconds? Two minutes?
They should have cut the Battle Royal.
No, it was like 4 minutes.
Under five. It was
they should
under
have
five.
Cut the Battle Royal.
But it was a spot fest. It was all there.
You could tell from the moment that match started, they were rushing through their spots.
Yep.
Roman Reigns.
Reigns was on fire.
Getting
all his spots.
He did
boom,
his
boom,
big
boom.
Drop kick on the outside, went right to the Superman punch. Ambrose ran wild. Rollins did his dive to the outside. And so it was almost like you're watching this going, okay, obviously the opening segment must have gone long. And these guys, of all the people, get shortchanged. One of the hottest acts in the company right now. I was not a fan of them getting 3 or 4 minutes out there.
Where would you have taken time from the show?
Well, you know,
Battle Royal.
You shave a little bit from the Battle Royal. You shave a little bit from, you know, looking at the kind of match they had, Undertaker Brock. Shave 2-3 minutes off that.
Yep.
That might have.
You wouldn't have known. Well, you wouldn't have known though.
The Divas match. I mean,
if you shaved from the Divas match, there would be no Divas match.
Well, the Divas match went about 6 minutes and I think it was 6 minutes and 48 seconds. They deserve more. Look, they deserve more. But the Shield is going to make a lot of money for this company in the future. It would have been nice to see them out there longer. They won.
They did.
It was the right outcome. Kane and the Outlaws got their asses handed to them. There was a rumor online that Billy Gunn had internal bleeding, and maybe that was why. I don't know. Maybe there's some truth to it. I call BS on it because Billy Gunn looked fine to me. He took a bump at the end of the match. If he was hurt, he wouldn't have been out there, or he would have been out in the apron. Not a fan of the Shield getting shortchanged at WrestleMania.
At least they won. At least
it was the right outcome. It was the right outcome. Agreed. And if they keep them together for many more months, because look, you can get 6 months, a year out of them as a babyface unit. I don't think they're going to go that long, but keep them together. You can make money with them.
Maybe SummerSlam could be the big three triple threat match. Maybe. That would be pretty cool. Maybe.
So we've talked about all the headline matches. We had the Divas match. I did predict AJ Lee would leave with the
Divas Championship of the World.
Right, the butterfly belt. and she did. She won. It went down exactly as I called it. You had all the other women in the ring doing their spots. AJ was knocked out. They all beat up each other. The Bellas went at it at one point. And AJ kind of snuck. Who took the fall? Was it Naomi?
Naomi
tapped out.
No. You didn't see what happened.
I didn't.
What do you mean?
What happened?
AJ Lee tapped Naomi's hand out.
No, I was getting to that, but I didn't remember who took the fall.
It was Naomi.
Right. AJ had her in the Black Widow.
Right.
Grabbed her hand, which the referee didn't see. Technically, Naomi didn't tap out.
Right.
But it counted. AJ wins. I assume this plays into an angle we'll see on Raw. Maybe Naomi ends up getting the belt or gets a rematch. But AJ wins.
Could we see a rematch at Extreme Rules in an Extreme Rules Divas match?
Oh, please no.
I would see Naomi. Please, I could no. see could Naomi have a... fighting AJ tomorrow. Well, no, tonight on Monday Night Raw. Could it happen?
If the WWE Network has 300,000 subs, they punish us by giving a rematch at some Extreme Rules.
Wait, right. How about a Divas ladder match? I'm serious.
Well, you know what? I will say this. We had a knockouts ladder match in TNA between Gail Kim and Taryn Terrell.
It's amazing.
Maybe the match of the year, one of the matches of the year last year in TNA. And it was unique because we don't see that a lot. So that could be something down the road. And then there's Paige, you know, lurking in the shadows here. She probably should already be on the main roster. I would be fine if they kept the belt on AJ for a few more months, built to Paige coming in, and built to something with AJ and Paige. You know, Naomi is great. They have divas on the roster who can go, but I want to see Paige come up. And I think AJ and Paige, you can really do something with that. So I was happy to see her keep her championship. We had the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I said Alexander Rusev. You said, Mike, Alexander Rusev. He was not in the Battle Royal. He was nowhere to be found. My backup pick was Damian Sandow. Sucks to be me. Sucks to be Sandow more than anything. He's probably out on Bourbon Street getting fucked up right now as we speak.
But it doesn't suck.
I would.
Cesaro,
if I were him, I would. But no, it was Cesaro. Now, what happened on the pre-show was they had the Fatal 4-Way, which turned into an elimination match. So nice of them to announce that in advance.
Hey, WrestleMania 17.
On the fly.
On the fly.
My brother texted me to tell me that Shawn Michaels was the analyst on the pre-show. And Michael Cole, or maybe Josh Matthews, had to correct him because he was talking about it as though it was a one-fall match, which it was up until, I guess, today. And he was corrected. And no, it was an elimination match. It was for the better. When it came down to the Usos and the Real Americans, people went crazy. People were really into this match. I thought it was an excellent match. And they did the Usos retained. They did the split afterwards where Swagger went to put the ankle lock on Cesaro. Zeb talked him out of it, said hug it out. And Cesaro gave him the giant swing. And Cesaro ended up as a surprise entrant in the Battle Royal. Came down to Cesaro and Big Show. And Cesaro picked up the Big Show for a body slam. This was not a hip toss. This was not kind of a body slam. This was a full-on, I will pick you up and hold you here because I am fucking strong.
Take five steps and dump.
And dump you over the top rope, convincing body slam. They put this guy over like $1 million in this match. He wins the trophy. People were going crazy. We were talking about this before the show. We're going into Raw tomorrow night. Last year, Fandango was the big thing, right? Fandangoing and all that. The year before, it was Brian and the Yes Chant. So who's going to be the guy? Who is going to be the guy that people cheer for and chant for? Could be Cesaro.
It could be Cesaro. Based on history, I disagree because it's usually someone that's not being featured, prominently featured, and Cesaro is now being prominently featured. You know how the fans like to be goofballs. You have a good point. It could be Cesaro.
Right.
I think it's going to be something completely wacky that we don't even suspect.
Maybe
it's going to be Emma?
I do, actually. And she's hot.
That's my pick.
It could be Emma. It could be Bad News Barrett, who was actually very over at the Hall of Fame.
I mean, I think, you know, of course, talent, notwithstanding talent, you have to have a chantable name, or you have to have a kind of some dance or something.
A hook.
So We the People.
We the People is great. Now, it's funny you mentioned We the People. So does We the People stay with Cesaro, or does We the People stay with Jack Swagger?
I think it stays with Coulter and Swagger if they continue doing their thing.
So we need some new music for Cesaro.
Cesaro had music before this.
Yeah, but he needs
new. They'll give him a new song.
Was tonight the official breakup?
Yes.
I mean, they went at it.
You missed it, didn't you?
Well, tonight was...
They've gotten physical before.
Tonight was the breakup because when he left the ring, he kind of threw his hands up to say, like, all right, the hell with you. Kind of like the model did, Rick Martel did with Tito Santana once upon a time.
WrestleMania 5.
Zeb Coulter was
not... Then he got all arrogant.
Zeb Coulter was not with Cesaro at the Battle Royal.
He was not.
You can't... If you're going to make Cesaro face, you can't put Zeb
Coulter with him. But I was so happy for him because, look, I was very upset when I found out that match was going to be on the pre-show. We were at WrestleMania last year. Cesaro was the U.S. champion. The day of the show, he's doing a signing 3 hours before WrestleMania. It wasn't even on the fucking card.
And he was training for WrestleMania,
too. He was training. They had training videos on WWE.com, and I'm like, what the fuck is he training for?
But it worked out for him this year, with Daniel Bryan.
I'm saying. Now, here we are a year later. He was relegated to the pre-show. People were into him. He made it onto the main card. They really built up that Battle Royal to mean something, which I have to give them credit for. It wasn't just a meaningless Battle Royal. And he had his big shining moment. He had a lot of shining moments, a lot of uppercuts, and that big moment with the Big Show, and then the Big Show extending his hand, shaking his hand, showing his respect. They put him over big time tonight.
That was cool.
Big thumbs up to WWE on doing that, because Cesaro is going to be one of the top guys going forward, like a Reigns, like a Wyatt. He will be in that top upper echelon of guys 5 years from now.
He's in the chamber. He's ready to go.
And he's friends with John Cena. I think he's friends with the right people.
Well, hot dog.
I think he'll be fine.
Yeah.
What else? I don't have the rundown in front of me. What other matches did we see tonight?
Well, we mentioned the tag match.
We mentioned the Battle Royal.
Daniel Bryan.
The show opened. Triple H curtain jerked WrestleMania. Well, let's talk about Triple H and Bryan first, because they had a really good match.
They did.
Maybe the best Triple H match I've seen in years, and Triple H put him over clean with, was it the knee?
And with no interference, no Stephanie on the apron.
Exactly.
It was out of nowhere.
And it was exactly as I thought it would be. It was perfect. Where after the match, Triple H attacked him. He went after the shoulder. It became an issue of, can he go? Will he be in the main event? His shoulder played into it. I like that aspect of it. And I like Stephanie at ringside. We haven't really seen that since the days of the McMahon-Helmsley regime when she was managing Triple H.
She was slapping him silly at the end.
She was McMahon-Helmsley era.
Such a good heel.
And you know, we didn't mention this when we were talking about Undertaker and Brock, but Paul Heyman was the star of that match.
Oh, that's right.
His facial expression. Even remember last year when he had the match with Punk, Undertaker and Punk, and there was a spot where Undertaker tombstone Punk. It was the first tombstone. And he got a near fall. And I remember they went to Heyman at ringside. Heyman had possession of the urn at the time. And the camera focused on Heyman. And he held the urn up in the air and was like, thank God! And everybody in the front row
still works.
Was laughing. He's so awesome in his role. I wish they would get more people under his tutelage to manage. And maybe they will. Maybe there'll be a new Heyman guy at some point.
Paige.
I've said Paige should be the next Heyman girl. But... he was the star of that match, and in this case, Stephanie was way up there. She's very good in her role. So they had a really good match, and to go to what Noah was saying, the show opened with Hogan, Austin, and The Rock. In the ring at the same time for the first time since 2002, and this was an appropriate opening, I thought, for the big 30th WrestleMania show. You have three of the biggest stars in the history of the company, in the history of wrestling, at least in this country. Plus, you had Bruno at ringside. Bret Hart was at ringside. You had all these big names.
Harley Race.
Big names.
You know, Foley bought his own ticket to WrestleMania and they didn't show him. I don't know where he was, but...
Yeah, but they've done enough with him. He's been on the pre-show. He was on that Legends Roundtable. Ric Flair kind of disrespected him, so
That's right.
Nice fuck you to Ric Flair right now from the Solid Monster. Did you see that?
You mentioned it. Go ahead. What happened?
Same guy that wear it's not Flair. Just to
mention really quickly here. They had a live Legends roundtable from Access on Friday night. So they had not Josh Matthews. They had Michael Cole, Ric Flair, Mick Foley, and JBL. And it was kind of lame. It wasn't really a Legends roundtable. It was more of a WrestleMania roundtable. But they were talking about their careers, and they mentioned, and Flair at one point made a comment about Mick Foley going through thumbtacks, being thrown off a 30-foot cage, and then he made a comment where he goes, you overstayed your welcome. And they showed Foley, and Foley, you could tell Foley was really taken aback by that comment. He looked at JBL like, oh, wow, that was kind of shitty for him to say. Because he and Flair kind of had issues when Flair called him a glorified stuntman in his book, but they made up, they're friends now. That was a really shitty thing for him to say.
It's a shoot, bro.
And I wanted to hate Ric Flair so much in that moment, and I did. And then a few minutes later, they showed highlights of Flair's retirement match and his son hugging his son at ringside. His son died last year of a drug overdose. And Flair was in tears on this show. I mean, there was like a long pause. He was trying to regain his composure.
So he got a pass on his shitty comment towards Foley.
You felt really bad for the guy. I'm sure he's been through a lot, but that is a shitty thing to say when the guy is sitting right next. You overstayed your welcome. What kind of thing is that to say to somebody?
Says the guy who wrestled in TNA after his big retirement match.
Says the guy who doesn't know when to call it quits.
Look,
the guy who admittedly would still be in the ring wrestling right now were it not for Vince McMahon and WWE saying, no, we're not going to let you wrestle anymore because we gave you the best send-off that any wrestler in the history of this business is ever going to get, which Flair admitted. I mean, that whole weekend was unbelievable. And coming from him, pot calling the kettle black, I mean, I don't know. That just really aggravated me.
Look, I love Ric Flair. He's insecure.
I was not missing Ric Flair from he was nowhere to be found tonight, unless he was on the pre-show and we didn't see it.
He probably was.
He was not missed. Let's put it that way.
Not by you.
We had Hogan, Austin, and Rock in the ring at the beginning. Great open to the show.
If there's a doubt, those three are on the Mount Rushmore.
They are three quarters of the Mount Rushmore of wrestling. Bruno is the only one missing. And Cena. Cena, whether you like him or not, Cena for the last 10 years has been the guy. He's the moneymaker. If you made a Mount Rushmore of wrestling, it would be Bruno, it would be Hogan, it would be Austin, it would be Cena. If you had a fifth guy, you would throw Rock in there. That's it. Absolutely. Not Brett, not Shawn, not anybody else.
Oh, top five.
I don't know about Bruno. If you only have four.
If you have four, then Bruno's number one.
Bruno above Cena.
Bruno's number one.
He made that era.
What?
For that company...
For 2 decades.
He sold out Madison Square Garden lots of times.
When back in the day, that was it. It was all about the Garden back then. It was all... They ran mostly the East Coast back then. It wasn't just the Garden. It was Philadelphia. It was Boston. That was Bruno territory.
Oh, yeah. And he also did it first.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Why is Rock the maybe, or the if?
Is Rock Hulk Hogan? Rock Steve Austin?
Well, hold on a second. Well, Rock does have victories over both of them, but... No, when people think about the Attitude Era, it was Steve Austin.
Right.
Austin and Rock came along at the same time. We'll never have another era like that with two guys of that caliber coming up at the same time. But Austin was the face of that era. It was the whole Austin McMahon storyline. Austin was the one who broke through first. So he edges out The Rock. The Rock's a bigger star now than he is. The Rock is a much bigger star now than Steve Austin.
A bigger star outside of wrestling overall. He's a bigger star.
He's a bigger star overall.
Pop culture.
In and out of wrestling.
I disagree.
He's a much bigger name. It doesn't matter who gets the bigger pop.
He
is the bigger star.
Oh, shut up, Noah.
But Rock acknowledges tonight. He said, I'm standing in the ring with the two biggest stars of the pro wrestling business.
In wrestling. He's a bigger star in the mainstream.
It's an important caveat, but he said it.
Right. But The Rock said it himself. Very cool to see all three of them share a ring, and I thought an appropriate open to the 30th WrestleMania.
Agreed.
You know what? Do you know what's going on right now? A lot of people making Rock babies.
That's right.
Hopefully it's not you.
January of next year.
Oh, Rock babies.
So, douche chills down my spine.
So overall, I was kind of shocked. No Papa Shango cameo on the show. I know he was in town, supposedly.
I'm okay with
Papa that. Shango should have come out and... brought The Undertaker back or something.
Yeah, he should have. You
know? I mean, overall, guys, is it fair to say we all had a great freaking time?
Well, look, you're always going to have fun with the live experience. We had great seats.
We did.
We met a lot of great people. I met a lot of listeners this weekend, too. So I want to give a shout out to them. We met a lot of wrestlers around town. Like it's been a lot of fun, and we still have Raw tomorrow night, which some might say is a hotter ticket than WrestleMania.
Absolutely.
Who's to say who's going to show up on Raw tomorrow night? Rob Van Dam.
Sting.
Well, maybe. Certainly more interactive. I'm hoping, because I think it would make sense. But overall, thoughts of WrestleMania? Go around the table. I'll give my thoughts last. Now, where you go first?
Well, you know what? It was a better WrestleMania than last year, for sure. By leaps and bounds.
It's not saying much.
The Undertaker match would have gotten poor reviews. Well, I mean, maybe it still gets poor reviews, but of course the shocking ending is the talk of the town. So if anything, what happened at that match is the biggest story in professional wrestling. It really is. It really is the biggest story. Unfortunately, it overshadows the match itself, Daniel Bryan's last match, the triple threat match, I should say. The crowd got into it at the second portion, but for certainly, you know, the biggest story out of this WrestleMania will for always and forever be the streak was over. And that's it.
That really, I mean, look, Bryan's win was big. It was necessary, but I do agree with that. The story of this WrestleMania will be the ending of the streak. But Bryan, what did you think of the show overall?
Overall, independent of other WrestleManias, I thought it was a fantastic WrestleMania. You saw some pretty
fantastic. You thought it was fantastic.
I did. I saw some pretty decent wrestling.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, you asked me about my opinion, Chico.
I'm just saying, why fantastic?
Well, it just felt with all the stars involved, with all the moments that they've had, and especially with Daniel Bryan, a true wrestler. It sounds silly saying winning the World Heavyweight Championship at the end of the event. It really felt like a fantastic WrestleMania, and I had a really fantastic time. So I give it two thumbs up from Bryan Blade.
Mike, what'd you think?
I'm going to say overall, obviously this WrestleMania has two major points to it. After about 9 months of a roller coaster ride with the Authority, with Daniel Bryan, it finally came to fruition tonight. I'm not going to say that we got there the best possible way. I'm not going to say that Daniel Bryan is going to be champion for 6 months. But by hook or by crook, Daniel Bryan got his big moment tonight. And for that, you know, I came to New Orleans this weekend to experience that. That's the one thing that I was really looking forward to. And I was even saying that if Daniel Bryan does not walk out of this show as WWE champion, you know, I'm not watching for a while.
Right.
And, you know.
Oh, bullshit. I'll be watching the next night on Raw.
I didn't say I was going to stick to it, but I said it. And over the last couple months, I've said it a few times. You know, we've been jerked around so much.
Yes.
Did we get here the best possible way? Obviously not. Daniel Bryan got his moment. It was much deserved. So that's one of the highlights.
This was the coming out party for I was going to say Bryan Danielson. This was the coming out party.
We did meet him.
This was the coming out party for Daniel Bryan. We have been on Bourbon Street. We've been all around New Orleans all weekend. Bryan and I were in the Hard Rock Cafe this morning. And we were talking with somebody who worked there. And she made the comment that all weekend, she actually turned on Bryan, because it got to the point where she said every single night, every person who came in here, it was all, yes. Yes, yes. Yes. And we've been going up and down Bourbon Street night after night here, and randomly people will break into chants of yes all weekend. Yes,
all night.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, you hear it in your sleep. Yes,
look,
yes, yes.
If you're a non-wrestling fan, you don't know what's going on.
Right.
You got to think there's some very horny people running around this town.
Horny or crazy or something to that.
All of the above.
Rock babies, exactly.
Oh, God.
But this was his big coming out party. This was the moment that solidifies him from now until the end of time as a main eventer.
And a future Hall of Famer.
No, he's definitely a Hall of Famer now. No. He main evented a WrestleMania and won the belt.
Yeah, and he won the belt, exactly. That's an important... I was going to mention Miz. Miz also main evented WrestleMania. We had this discussion.
Yeah, but Miz doesn't have a following like Daniel Bryan does. Or did. Or whatever.
You know, Miz's father is in town. I'm hoping before this weekend is over, we can meet him.
I want to see another slap in the face.
Sure. But no. Bryan got his big moment at the end of the show. For me, that made the show... The opening stuff with Hogan, Rock, and Austin was great. The streak ending, for the shock value alone, makes this a memorable, newsworthy show. Cesaro winning the Battle Royal was a big moment. I'd love to see that. Shield was dominant. They got shortchanged. They got fucked over on the show, as far as I'm concerned. I think we're all in agreement on that. That sucked. But at least they won. It was the right outcome. Overall, I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, I would give this WrestleMania a solid 7 to 7.5 out of 10. Wasn't a perfect show, but it was not a bad WrestleMania. I already had messages, this WrestleMania sucked. It was terrible. It was horrible. I can't believe they went in the streak. It's mostly people who were upset that the streak ended. And I look, I'm okay with that. If you disagree with the decision to end the streak, it was not a bad WrestleMania at all.
Well, there's one thing I'd like to add I forgot to mention before. I thought it was very pretty cool how they had the Mr. T, Orndorff, Hogan, and Piper segment right before the main event. 30 years of history leading right into the current.
It's amazing to me that all the members of the WrestleMania main event are still alive.
Right?
Well, when you consider
how many people are no longer around.
That's very true. You can't say that about every WrestleMania either.
When you consider how many people are not around anymore from that first show, from even more recent WrestleManias. And Orndorff had a cancer scare. Piper had a cancer scare. All of them except Hogan have beaten cancer.
That we know of.
And so it was cool to see them in the same segment. I'm sure it wasn't easy for Piper to shake hands and embrace Mr. T, who is very much in love with his mother, as we found out at the Hall of Fame on Saturday
Maybe
night.
We should bring that up. Boy, how bizarre was that?
It was entertaining. It was
a train wreck, is what it was.
Do we determine if she's still with us?
I don't know if Mr. T's mother is actually among the living.
Google it, Noah.
I googled it on my phone. I couldn't find out. If anybody knows, please let me know.
Fall in.
Kane came out, gave him the hook, and we never did find out whether she was there. If she's, you know, long deceased, I have no idea.
That was the best moment.
Clearly, she's an amazing woman. I would love to meet her if she's still alive. Mother's Day must be a big day in the T household, is the only thing I can say. Even the Hall of Fame. I enjoyed the Hall of Fame. Aside from that, and Carlos Colon, I didn't really care much for his induction.
Carlito was entertaining, though.
Carlito was great. Carlito came out, and Carlito doesn't give a shit. And that's just how he is. He came out, and he outright said, well, you know, it's clearly from like Razor Ramon to the Ultimate Warrior, they needed a buffer. So let's put Carlos Colon in the spot. And we just got told our time got cut, so it's like I never left. It's like I never left WWE.
Botchamania.
Yeah, so that was actually kind of funny, but I could have done without that induction. I thought the highlight of the Hall of Fame to me was Jake the Snake Roberts, personally.
Agreed, yeah, it was very heartfelt.
Once you get over his voice, which is just completely fucked from years of drug abuse, among other things, I'm sure, I thought his speech was the most heartfelt, real, raw, genuine thing, and he's a guy on my own show who I said I thought, and this was maybe more than 5 years ago at this point, who would be dead by now.
Huh. Sadly true.
I'm glad you were wrong, though.
Now he's in the Hall of Fame with his grandkids up on stage.
That was sweet. That was really cute.
Which was very cool, and I thought he knocked it out of the park. I thought Scott Hall was very good. I enjoyed that.
Short but sweet.
Short but sweet. Maybe
the bad guy comment at the end was really cool.
You know, again, no mention of the NWO stuff. Clearly, they're saving that for an induction. Yeah, you got the 20-year anniversary of the NWO in 2 years. Maybe they'll do something.
I don't have a problem with that.
You wouldn't.
Look, it is what it is.
I really don't.
But I enjoyed the Hall of Fame. I think it was maybe the most enjoyable Hall of Fame of the three that I've attended.
And Mania as well.
And Mania as well. I've now attended three live WrestleManias.
Consecutive.
The last three. And this was probably the most fun / the best one that I have attended.
And what about the city itself? How would you compare New Orleans to Miami and to New
York? Look, Miami is a fun city. New York, New Jersey and New York, I'm more than acquainted with. And I will not call New Jersey my favorite city. New Orleans is great. We've had a fucking blast, I think, during our time here in New Orleans.
Oh, I'm trashed right now.
This city is so ripe, especially Bourbon Street where we're staying.
I'm drinking some of this Abita strawberry
cheers,
stuff right
Salamancer.
Now.
Cheers, Salamancer.
Which is you great. Know,
this is just the perfect setting for a WrestleMania.
It is.
Everywhere that we've gone this weekend, it's a beautiful city.
Wrestlers everywhere. I had the chance we bumped into so many different people. I even had the chance to meet up with Damian Nelson from the PWR show, which was very cool last night. Vladimir the Superfan the other night. Mike, you bumped into Mike Johnson from
SoCal Val.
PW Insider. SoCal Val, Al Snow, Norman Smiley.
Maria Menounos we ran into today on the way to lunch.
Beautiful.
Oh, celebrity crush.
Yeah, well, the laugh, we can ignore the laugh.
No, I really have to say, though, this city is tremendous, and if you ever have an opportunity, if you're ever thinking about coming to Mardi Gras, if it's on your list, do it. By all means, do it, and stay here in the French Quarter, because this is just an amazing city. Everything's walkable for the most part. Or a very quick cab right away.
Great food in the city.
The food
too.
Is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Well,
just great.
Says the vegan.
Great stuff.
Who can't eat seafood?
Have yourself a hand grenade. You'll have a good time. You can't. Oh, that's right. Noah has been barred from the Tropical Isle.
Good.
After a dispute.
Let's go there next.
Dispute with the bartender.
Yeah, we mentioned.
I got it on video, by the way.
So, are we going to end this podcast celebrating Daniel Bryan, or are we going to
we're mourning the streak.
Or are we going to mourn the streak?
What episode is this, by the way?
This is 322, and I'm not going to mourn the streak.
We're not going to go thank you, Taker?
We're going to celebrate the fact that they did the right thing.
Are you going to do it?
Were it not for the fans, we would not be sitting here right now talking about a Daniel Bryan championship win.
I think Noah deserves some credit. He was at the Royal Rumble and helped in spearheading the Bautista.
He was among the Yes movement.
You're welcome.
And I think they did the right thing. It's worth celebrating. Who knows what they'll do going forward. We've seen champions that get booked like crap. Maybe Bryan will be among them. Maybe he won't be. But he had his moment. It was an appropriate end to this chapter of the story. He's a made man now. Punk being gone is a big part of that because it opened up a spot for Bryan.
Lots of CM Punk chants tonight.
A lot of CM Punk chants. Rumors of him being in town. We thought he was at the... I didn't see him at the Hall of Fame. I saw Rob Van Dam. We did not see him at the Hall of Fame. There were rumors of him being here.
He was at a Blackhawks game, I think, today or yesterday.
He may have been at the Hall of Fame, but then flew back. He was at the Blackhawks game, so he is not in town. Please, it is not a work, people. He is gone. He is done. Maybe at some point he'll come back. Punk is not going to be on Raw tomorrow. He was not here tonight.
Critter. Hashtag up. Deal with it.
Hashtag master plan. Hashtag it's all a work.
Oh, shut up. It's Quitter. Not a work, Noah.
So now we head into Raw Monday night. It should be a fun show. I'm sure, a lot to say about that on our normal sound off episode back in New York. Back to normal next week, and that'll be episode 323. This will probably be the most fun Raw of the year. I mean, that's really what it's been built up as every year. People have certain expectations for this show.
Noah's going to start the wave again.
We have to do a Raw wave?
You have to start it, Noah.
It's almost tradition at this point.
Somebody tweeted me and asked me to start a wave tonight, and I didn't respond because I figured we're going to save that for tomorrow. And we have there's a lot of European fans in town. A lot of fans from all over the world, really, but especially in Europe and the UK. They're all over town. And if what we've seen here just on Bourbon Street alone is any indication, that Raw tomorrow night is going to be...
a rowdy one.
Wild.
Because you take the highest concentration of fans. I mean, it's, what is it, 17,000, 13,000, 14,000?
Whatever
it
is.
It's going to fit in the Smoothie King Center.
It's going to be very. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's like concentrated orange juice. And it is the rabid of rabid fans over at Raw.
So we look for. So we're looking forward to that a lot.
You okay with that?
Concentrated orange juice?
That's right. You ever make concentrated orange juice? You get it. How am I a dum-dum? You get the frozen orange juice.
Right.
We know how it works.
You put it in
a
pitcher. You pour water in it. We are concentrated orange juice.
Purified water, hopefully.
Yes, of course.
I prefer alcohol. I don't know why you're drinking
well,
orange
speaking
juice.
Well, speaking of alcohol, why don't we Let's wrap this up so we can here. Get the hell out of here.
We're going to wrap. You know what we're going to do? We're going to wrap this up and we're going to go celebrate Daniel Bryan's championship.
Are you going to do it finally, Salamonster, instead of looking at us, calling us idiots?
What are you talking about?
Yes.
He wants me to do a yes chant on the air.
Yes.
I'll tell you what. We'll do that in a second, but let's wrap this up here. So, I hope you've enjoyed this post-WrestleMania edition of the Sound Off.
I've enjoyed.
I've enjoyed having you. Webmaster Mike's debut on the show. Noah Mark, Bryan Blade. As always, I'm glad you were able to be part
thank
of this.
You, so
you can follow me on Twitter as... Oh, by the way, thank you for helping me pass the 5,000 threshold.
Oh, during WrestleMania.
Thank you very much.
I made it.
Birdman.
You know what it is? Actually, you should thank The Undertaker. Probably so much interest in The Undertaker.
I will tell you this. When the streak was broken, I picked up like 50 new followers. And it was all people complaining and bitching that the streak came to an end. So actually, that was best for business for me. So I love the streak coming to an end. It's fucking great.
It should end every year.
Absolutely. I wish they would piss
me off. Are you on the writing team?
I should.
This could be...
Some people think I should be. But,
a lot of people think this is the end of the streak. But in reality, this could be the beginning of The Undertaker's losing streak every year at WrestleMania for the next conceivable
years.
Yeah,
that's not happening.
I think it's the beginning of Brock Lesnar's reign of terror.
You know, Mike brought up an interesting point before we wrap up here that he feels we could still end up getting a Brock Lesnar-Daniel Bryan championship match at some point, which is an idea that I pitched before WrestleMania.
They didn't do it
at WrestleMania this year, but they could still do it going forward.
SummerSlam.
Lesnar gains a lot of credibility now being the man to end the streak. And
thought that shirt was all bullshit.
It's not.
We all did.
Eat, sleep, break the streak is now...
Eat, sleep, I broke the streak.
Is legit.
Should be the new shirt.
It is legit. So we could end up seeing Brock Lesnar as champion at some point. Maybe that's the direction they're going in. I would not mind that at all.
He's awesome. He really is awesome.
He really is. And I think Brian Brock would be a hell of a match if they wanted to do that.
They would. And... better than Punk, even.
Although Mike's prediction is that Brock gets the championship at some point, and faces Roman Reigns
at WrestleMania.
At WrestleMania 31.
Sounds so good, but what does Mike know?
It's an early prediction from
Dirt Sheet.
It sounds.
Yeah, he does.
It sounds.
He's
early.
Very dirty.
It sounds too early to do that. But
well, hey, a year is a long time. We'll see what
we'll
happens.
Just have to wait.
Back in the day, we used to plan our WrestleMania a year in advance.
That's right. Mega Powers.
No, I'm saying
it's before your time.
I'm saying it's early. I'm saying maybe. No,
well, some people thought that Reigns might win the Rumble and headline this year.
I'm like JR. I like the slow burn.
Well.
You are nothing like JR, Noah. No offense.
Follow me on Twitter, at Solomonster. You can follow DJ, at DJ Noah 80. You can follow at Superblade.
That's
for Brian
right,
Blade. You can,
bitch.
And of course, you have to check out at SE Scoops. For all the latest, actually, SC Scoops broke a story this weekend about Vicky Guerrero.
Vicky Guerrero finishing up with WWE this weekend. I got an email from a very well trusted source. Vicky Guerrero leaving the industry after nearly 10 years with WWE, pursuing a career outside of the business, and it's been a hell of a run for Vicky Guerrero.
She's so bad, she's good.
Excuse
That's
me.
The best way that I can describe that.
She's been one of the. Maybe the top five most over personalities in the last 10 years.
She would get nuclear heat when she would go out there, but she's barely been used lately. I don't even know what the hell. Was Brad Maddox was supposed to be in the Battle Royal?
He was in it.
Was he?
He was in it.
You would notice
I didn't
Brad
even know.
Maddox in the Battle Royal.
I didn't even know he was in it. I didn't see him out there.
Well,
you weren't looking for him. We were
who eliminated
on Cesaro and Big Show, really.
Mm-hmm. Who eliminated him?
I watch the WWE Network, Noah Cole.
I have no idea. But do follow these gentlemen here because they're good people. At SC Scoops and at Solomonster.
I just want to thank you, Solomonster, for allowing us to join you on this podcast.
Oh, my pleasure.
The pleasure is all yours, and we thank you.
And
spread the word about the Sound Off.
Yes, please do. I'm still amazed I'm sitting here. We left the we left the Silverdome. 75,000. We left late too. We were one of
and now we're on Bourbon Street. Somehow.
We're on Bourbon Street now. But I'm still amazed that I got chased down by Hurricane Helms. And
Hey kid, can you take a picture?
I was like, who the hell is bothering? I turn around and it's Hurricane Helms. I'm like, wait a minute. And of course, Brian Blade, that looks like the hurricane. I'm like, no shit.
Yeah, but I was stupid. I said it right in front of him. I felt bad.
And bad influence. I said it before. I'll say it again. The most criminally underutilized team in TNA right now. I think Daniels, I should have asked him about that. Daniels, I think, may be done possibly with TNA. His contract is up. I don't know if he'll stick around.
NXT.
They would be a hell of an addition to the tag team division because TNA is doing fuck all with these guys. And if they're not going to do anything with them, they're not getting any younger. I would love to see them in WWE. I don't see it, though. They didn't pick up the Wolves. I doubt they would pick up Bad Influence.
Me too, but can we go out and drink more now?
We're going to do that right now, so we're going to wrap it
yes.
up.
Yes!
Solomonster. As always, and by the way, you can make a PayPal donation to the show as well. I have to fit that in there.
Hey, you can go to audible.com/...
No. Audibletrial.com/Solomonster.
Nice try, Noah.
But Noah can't read, so audiobooks are probably the best thing for him.
Yes!
Actually, none of us can probably see straight, let alone read right now.
Let's go. Let's go.
Make a donation. Tell your friends about the show.
Thank you very much. Be well. Stay safe. Come to New Orleans if you have a chance. And we'll be back with a normal episode of The Sound Off next weekend. Until then,
should we give him a yes chance?
Lead it.
It's time to celebrate, guys. It's time to celebrate.
Start off and we'll join in.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. We'll be right back.